When I was researching this particular passage, I found that there were tons and tons and tons of articles about how to love other people. All the people that you don't want to love. The people who are annoying, the people who are crazy, the people that you don't want to love, the people that drive you absolutely bananas. I found tons and tons of articles about how to love those people. Because that's what's really difficult, right? It's when we encounter these people that we don't like, that we find almost unlovable. The people that disagree with us, the people that are mean and hateful, that do bad things. Those are the people that we struggle to really love. And we need to read lots of articles and figure out how to love them, because that's really how you do that, right? So we come across these people every day. We see them on the street. We see them in the store. We find them at work. And sometimes it's really, really difficult to love them. And I keep reminding myself that Jesus loves them and so should I. But sometimes that doesn't seem to be enough. But I need reminding about that, just like I need reminding about a lot of things. I set reminders on my phone to remind me of things. I set reminders on my phone to tell me to send an email or to check in for a flight or to make sure the trash is on the curb on the correct day and not the wrong day. So these are things that I set to remind myself about it. So if I were to set a calendar reminder on my phone to alert me at 2:37 p.m. that I need to love other people that I find unlovable, I don't know that that would be overly helpful. I can try, and it's a good reminder to say, hey, Megan, you idiot, you need to learn to love people better. But I don't know if that's really going to help me all that much, because I need to learn to love. Because I'm sure there is someone who finds me absolutely unlovable. And I find that that person some days is me. I find myself unlovable. And that's the hardest. In general, if I were to set up a booth in the courtyard and asked each one of you to anonymously write down all of your very worst qualities, all of your flaws, all of the things that you find terrible, I would think that we would have pretty good lists. But if I were to set up the same booth, and I would say, I want you to write down every single wonderful, glorious, magnificent, great thing about yourself, I think some of us would struggle. There are some people who can write quite a few wonderful things about themselves. Whether they're true or not is not really the point. But some of us would really struggle to say, these are my very best qualities. These are the things that make me a wonderful person that you should clearly love. Right? We struggle with that. The passage in Matthew is trying to catch Jesus in a difficult position. What is the greatest? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. I think that's pretty easy. I love God. That's okay. I can do that. Love my neighbor. Okay, well, as long as Jesus recognizes that I struggle with that and I need the reminder on my phone to know to love people, then I'm pretty sure I can handle that because I know I'm going to struggle through it. But to love myself? Yeah, I don't really want to do that. How about I just focus on those other two things and I can work through the other in the future, maybe, never? Dr. Jamie Clark Soules explains the situation in this particular part of Scripture. In Matthew 22, we find Jesus catching it from the left and from the right. Just before our passage, the Sadducees go after him. The Pharisees go up against him for the sole purpose of testing and entrapping him. But Jesus pandered to no one. Not the Sadducees, not the Pharisees, not the Zealots, and not even Rome itself. Overindulged religious leaders and government officials alike found it impossible to get him to sell out. Jesus remained single-minded throughout his life. Love God and your neighbor and God. They asked Jesus, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" It was an ethical challenge. And how does Jesus respond? Jesus presumably underwhelms by merely quoting scripture that any Jew of speaking age at that point could recite. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So this is where it comes down. If we don't love ourselves, how in the world can we expect to love our neighbor? The truth is that some of us do love our neighbor as ourselves. And it's extremely apparent that we don't love ourselves at all when we see the way we treat our neighbor. When we think about this and how love looks, we are constantly struck down by what we're being called to do. Nadia Bowles Weber says that she used to think that being naturally loving and forgiving and a grace-filled person was a prerequisite for being one of Jesus' disciples. Now I think that now she thinks it's the result of being Jesus' disciple. I have seen over and over again the ways in which encountering the disruptive love and grace of Jesus creates in us the ability to love one another. So it's not just that I have to be this good, love-filled person to be able to be a disciple. It's because I am a disciple that I can love others. It's through that grace of God. When I see the way Jesus treats people, it makes me more able to love another. But there's something inherently different between understanding that God calls us to love others and being actively able to love ourselves. There are lots of ways that we run up against ourselves. Self-rejection, not accepting ourselves. Self-hatred, hating the person that God has made in you. Unforgiveness or bitterness, when we try to hold things against ourselves. Being hard on oneself. We would never, ever be as hard on someone else as we are on ourselves. We have low self-esteem. We're ashamed of ourselves. We feel ugly or worthless. And these things manifest themselves in small ways. It can happen because we have been rejected in one way or another. It can be because we lack the inner self-esteem that can attack us at inopportune times. It happens because we are constantly comparing ourselves to someone else. If only I could look like them, act like them, be like them, whatever it is. But when we actually get down to it, many times we compare ourselves to people who are just as dissatisfied with their life as we are with ours. When we cannot love ourselves, we are being disrespectful of what God has done for us in creation. We don't look at the mountain and say, oh, you know, that mountain's real pretty, but I think I would shave off a couple trees over here and maybe make this part over here a little more rocky. You stand back and you're in awe of the beauty of the mountain and how the sun shines over the edge of it and how the top can be covered in snow and the bottom can be green and beautiful. When I look at a valley in the fall, I don't think, oh, you know, if there were some more red down the middle and some more orange around the sides, it'd paint a prettier picture. No, I stand in the valley and I say, oh my goodness, how beautiful are those leaves as they blaze in the fall with the reds and the oranges and the yellows. How beautiful that naturally happens, and I can see it as I stand here. I don't stand on the beach, on the edge of the ocean, and I don't say, you know, I really think that this turquoise color is just not good. We need something darker, or something lighter, or something clearer, or something darker. No, I stand on the beach, and I marvel at the tiny grains of sand that I'm standing on, and the expanse of the ocean that goes on forever. How often do you stand in the mirror and you pick out every little laugh line and every little wrinkle and every blemish and every mole and everything on your face that you think is ugly or is not what you want to look at? How often do you look at yourself in the mirror and think, you know, if I just was this, or I just was that, if I lost 5 pounds, or if I was taller, I think that every day, if I was shorter, if my hair was longer or it was curlier, then I would be happy, then I could love myself because I would be different. Instead, what if we stood in front of the mirror and we thanked God for the ways that our bodies have served us, the friends we've made, the work that we've been able to accomplish, the houses we've built, the families we have had. What if we stood in front of the mirror and said, you know, I got that wrinkle when my son fell off his bike and he was bleeding from the head. Or I got that laugh line when we were sitting with my best friends from college and we laughed for 6 hours straight and nobody could breathe. What if we looked in the mirror and saw all of the blessings that we have that show up on our face or our body and not the things that we wish we were? Our bodies were made by God, and we should be thankful and appreciate them and appreciate the creation that God has given us and not judge ourselves so harshly. We completely lose perspective on being a part of God's creation when we are more worried about being a part of society's creation. How do we cultivate an attitude of gratefulness for who we are, for what God has done for us? How do we learn to love ourselves in the midst of society that tells us we are never good enough, we are never pretty enough or rich enough or have all that we need? Why is it so hard to take a compliment? Why do we have this negativity bias where we can only remember the absolute worst comments? I could have 150 people tell me that my sermon was fabulous. It never is. But I could have 2 people come up to me and say, you talked too fast, and I don't like it when you walk around the stage. And you know what I'll remember the next day? I'll remember those 2 comments. I won't remember anything else. Because that's the way we are. That's the way that we judge ourselves. We only remember the worst and not the greatest. How do we learn to live in the space where we see ourselves as God sees us? As a beloved child. How do we live each day into the knowledge and allow us to propel into new and amazing things? I believe that it goes back to learning to recognize our own truth. Not the truth that we wish for, but the actual truth. We have to create experiences that mirror our own truth. We have to actually believe the evidence and experience it. We have to cultivate an attitude of presence, of self-worth, and being a beloved child of God. 1 John 4:7 says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed love among us. God sent the one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Friends, we know God. We experience God when we sit here together, when we sit in Bible study, when we go to Sunday school, when we sit with our friends and staff. We know God. Because we know God, we know the overwhelming love of God. That love should transcend all of the negative stuff that we have around us. It should give us confidence and freedom to truly be who we are called to be. I want you to find a way this week to remind yourself that you are loved unconditionally for who you are right now, not who you wish you could be in 5 or 6 wrinkles or laugh lines or pounds or hair or whatever it is that's going to make you happy. Because the greatest commandment is to love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. We have to learn to love ourselves, because that's how we love our neighbor and how we love God. We have to love so that we are more capable and willing to love others. I want you to practice gratefulness with your body for where it has taken you, for where you've been, for what you've accomplished, and for all that God has made you, because you are so loved as you are, and you have to keep reminding yourself of that. whether you you're on your phone that says, hey, guess what, Lisa, you are loved today. Or you surround yourself with people.